Let's go to Australia. How's your weekend been, Brad?
Hey, Jesse. Well, another super hot one over the weekend. Temperatures hitting 40 degrees.
That's a bit full on for end of March, mate.
I know. I think it's our hottest March in 5 or 10 years or something at the moment. So, but I must say, Jesse, I'm getting excited this week. We're now 1 week away from the New South Wales election, which means I'll be able to go up to my local shops on Saturday morning to get my coffee, and I won't have half a dozen people shoving pamphlets at me as I try to get into the cafe.
Do you do the democracy sausage with the state elections?
They do, on this Saturday, and usually they're at a school or a hall, and they do have the sausages going, which is nice. But it feels like we're always voting. Unlike New Zealand, we have state elections every 3 to 4 years, federal elections the same, and we also have local council elections. So it feels like we're voting for somebody every year. But as I say, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we go to the polls this Saturday, Jesse.
I guess the more times you vote, the more habit-forming it becomes, perhaps. Maybe it just becomes part of normal life, and I don't know what the Aussie turnout's like in comparison to New Zealand, but I guess it's a healthy sign that you're all still talking about it. Any idea which party will get in?
Well, the Liberal Coalition has been in power in New South Wales now for 12 years, and polls are predicting a swing to Labor, which will mean Chris Minns will be our new Premier. Now, this follows what happened in the federal election last year with the Coalition being replaced by Labor. And Chris Minns, he seems like a pretty nice guy. He's a married dad of 3 children. He appears to have a genuine interest in education, healthcare and climate change. And he did show he's a man of the people last week. He went on a radio show and played the riff to AC/DC's Thunderstruck, which was apparently pretty impressive.
That's a great riff, by the way. I'm sure he didn't play it as well as Angus Young, but if he could get that rhythm right and not screw it up, that would be impressive for at least, I would say, half of the voting population.
For sure.
You mentioned the nuclear-powered submarines last week. What's the local feedback been like as to that announcement?
Well, probably like you in New Zealand, Jesse, absolute shock, really. I mentioned last week the Prime Minister was heading to the US to announce the deal, and they were talking at that time of spending $100 billion, but now, as we're all aware, that figure is $368 billion over the next 30 years, and that gets us 9 submarines.
They thought the used car market was tough at the moment.
Well, that's right. But I find it hard to understand how much money that is. And I read over the weekend Auckland Airport's redevelopment plans will cost something like $3.9 billion. So this submarine deal, 4-9 submarines, is 100 times more expensive than that.
Well, what price security, I suppose. But, yeah, that's a lot of money. Wow.
It is, and there's been talk now of where are these subs going to be stationed when they're finally ready. Wollongong, 1 hour south of Sydney, is one option. Newcastle, 2 hours north of Sydney. They're being thrown around, but the people in these areas don't want them, Jesse. And we have to get rid of the nuclear waste, we're told, as well. So I don't know who got the better deal, whether it's the US or us, but I don't know if you heard the former Prime Minister Paul Keating talking about it last week.
No, what did he think?
Well, he said he was the Prime Minister for Labor back in the 80s, 90s. Yeah, he said it was the worst deal in history, the worst international decision by an Australian Prime Minister since Billy Hughes tried to introduce conscription back in 1916. And he said, how can 9 submarines going to effectively patrol our vast coastline anyway? And China isn't going to attack us, and they never will. So I don't know. We will see what happens, Jesse, but we don't have to pay the first $100 billion until the next 10, I think it's the first 10 years or something. And then I'm not sure where we're going to get the money from. But
you've got it on Afterpay. Yeah. What else is happening at the moment, Brad?
Well, I wanted to mention last week launch of the Vivid Light Festival. Now, it's not until May. It's on from May 26. It runs through to June 17. But if any of your listeners were thinking of coming over to Sydney any time, then that would be a great time to do it. The festival has the theme of nature this year. There's over 300 attractions, including the illumination of the Opera House, the Harbour Bridge. There's going to be a couple of drone shows with over 1,000 drones over the harbour. A lot on offer for foodies, night markets, and something new called Vivid Residence, which will have an as-yet-unnamed internationally acclaimed chef taking up residence at a Sydney dining room.
It's a great idea for a city festival, isn't it? Good chance to get some people in and presumably a pretty quiet time of year.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I might be totally wrong about this, but the UK's the man regarded as the UK's first celebrity chef, Marco Pierre White, who I'm sure you know, he's coming to Australia around the time of Vivid to do a series of talks in Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne, just talking about his life. So maybe he could be that mystery chef for Vivid, Jesse. I'm not sure, but it's certainly a great time to come and just rug up, because it will be getting cooler, hopefully, by then.
Lovely. It's been ages since I came to Australia. I've got to find an excuse at some point. I've got Tasmania on my list. My wife's pretty excited about Western Australia, but we'll put Sydney on the list too. Brad, love to meet you in person. Thanks so much.
Okay, Jesse.
Brad Foster from Australia.